Warning, the following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
That's right, you are back with the Chili Dippers. I'm your host, Luke Clark. Sitting on the other end of the line with me, as always, is a man who claimed to be a student so he could purchase student accommodation in Melbourne. Dave Cannon-Rolson, how are you going?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, that's true. I actually still own that apartment. And I think I rented out to another bloke who's a non-student. Yeah, it's near Flemington Racetrack and High Point Shopping Centre there. And I think I'd come back from overseas and needed somewhere to live before I started my job down at the pier there. And there was you've seen the apartment, haven't you?
I've actually stayed in it with you.
Yeah, you're the only one I think that stayed there as a guest. I needed a tiny little studio apartment to buy, and I bought it. Student only accommodation, so you've got to tell them you're going to the uni down the road, but very loose on the checks and all that sort of stuff. So, that was nice and easy. And I said it's a great investment. I've still got that, and it's still churning in money today.
And I think I actually even forged the certificate to say that you were a student, I think, to get that. And there's actually this little the man who once was sent in by Mark Goody, shout out to you, Goodza. This was a two part, so there was a second part to this, which I'll read out now.
I was about to volunteer some other forging of documents. Is that what it is?
No, you can get to that in a sec. Says the same guy who was once going to add a mezzanine floor to his two room accommodation.
Oh, gee, now I don't remember that. He's got me on the mezzanine.
You weren't trying to add a mezzanine floor to that student. Because, like I said, I stayed there one day and I had a little single bed and I slept on the floor and I literally had probably 2 feet between your bed and the desk. So I'm tipping you weren't trying to put a mezzanine floor in that room.
No, I wasn't. No, look, Goods has got me on that one. You'll have to double check. I've had a few places over the years, but I can't remember trying to ever add a mezzanine floor. I thought it was the other forged document. I got Wisey to forge me a degree in computers to get a job in Sydney once as well. And that was I actually got a government grant to not do the course in computers and split the money with Wisey to forge the documents to say I did it. I think you're involved. We might have even got some printing stuff done off you. I don't know.
Yeah, because you probably couldn't work the computer to bloody print it.
No. Yeah, that's the other. Now, I see on Instagram, this is obviously going to come out Thursday, not Wednesday.
Yeah, so we apologise for this, people. We couldn't get a pot out on Wednesday like we normally try to do.
Really like the picture you put in. That's a good picture to say you're in trouble there.
Yeah, was that or a picture of a golf ball sitting on a crocodile's nose?
Yeah, no, I like that one. That was good. It was correct that I didn't know how to charge my phone. My phone charger broke. And I had to buy a new one today. But who forgot the equipment last weekend when we were away? That's why we didn't have any pods done. We played a couple of golf courses last weekend, and that's we're going to review them now. But you forgot the equipment, and that's when we were going to get them done. So I don't think it's completely fair to dump it all on me.
No, like I said earlier, when you're the person doing all the Instagram accounts and all that, I got the license to do that, to put it all on you.
Yeah, you have, and that's fair. But I just wanted to get my little bit in there. Yeah. So what's on the show today?
Well, today, a couple of things. We're going to talk about the golf course we played, like you just mentioned last weekend. We played Sandringham, so we'll discuss that. We might do some viewer questions, and a top four, I think, might be on the cards today.
Sounds good. So Sandringham, how did that was? We played that on the Saturday now. We were both down in Melbourne Friday night, but we spent it apart, which was unusual. What did you do Friday night?
Well, I caught up with one of my friends, Bustle, and we went to the football, which, because it was raining...
You did... Friends mean Bustle,
yeah.
Old mates.
Yeah, which you were invited, but because it was cold and wet, you declined the offer.
That's true. I don't go out in the cold or the wet.
Yep, and it was I barracked for Sydney Swans, Bus barracks for Hawthorn Hawks, so they were playing each other, so we went down. It was at the G, so we ended up getting members tickets, and I don't think I've seen a single kick at the football. We sat in one of the bars. I think I watched the last 5 minutes on a television. I didn't, like I said, I think we had it. We drank every single bar in the stadium.
So you're at the game watching it on TV. That makes sense. Yeah,
and not even watching it. We may as well have stayed at his place or gone to the sports bar just down the road from him. It would have been the exact same experience.
I was going to say, you had the same view I had in me. I didn't go out. I stayed in a hotel, funnily enough, which I don't normally do. And I love staying in a little hotel room by myself in Melbourne. It's, which is weird. You've seen my, well, we've just discussed one of my places in Melbourne, and where I live in New Zealand is basically a little hotel room as well.
Yep.
But I stayed in a little hotel room in the Ibis Hotel there, and it just felt, I don't know, it felt cool. It felt great. I enjoy staying in hotel rooms.
Yeah, it's fair enough, yeah. And look, you said your view was probably better view of the game than mine. You're like, you probably would have had 15 people's heads you had to stare over to get to the TV. But look, I ended up staying out a little bit later than anticipated. Before we left, you asked me very politely, don't stay out too late and drink too much. I think you're a bit worried about how I was going to rock up.
Yeah, I'm not so much worried about your rock up, but you play golf poorly when you're in that condition and you don't enjoy it as much. And if you're not enjoying it, I don't enjoy it as much. So that was the concern.
Yeah, but look, they're not got a little bit out of hand like it always does with me and Bus. But I pulled up great, come picked you up nice and early, and we drove down to Sandringham.
We did. We drove down. We weren't sure we needed something to eat on the way, and we're only guessing. But I'd played Sandringham years ago and remember there being some sort of strip malls and things on the way there. And we found a lovely little place for breakfast, didn't we? How good was that? Look, it was an egg and bacon burger, which everyone's had a meal of, but that was a great little place for it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And it was about 5 minutes from the golf course.
And I had a Pasito. Is that how you say it? Pasito, that purple canned soft drink?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't get Pasito in New Zealand, so that was a treat for me.
Yeah, well, look, Sandringham, the reason why we're getting to finding it tough now to try to find top 100s that we don't have to get on a plane to go and play. And Sandringham was one of them. And look, when we say top 100...
Yeah, what was it ranked?
It just sneaks into the top 100. It's ranked at 99.
99, is it?
99, which is good because I was actually looking forward to see what the cutoff in the top 100 is like.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, no, so was I. Yeah, it was interesting to see what the bottom end is, the lowest of the 100. Yeah, no, it was good. What did you think driving in?
Well, this was the best part of the day. Driving in, the first impression, I didn't know what to expect. Driving in, it was sort of one of those typical Melbourne where you're just in the middle of some suburban area, and then you turn left and all of a sudden you're on a road and here's a big fence. We thought, this looks pretty golf course. I said to you, geez, the fairways look good. Look at them.
Yeah,
and we'll drive on a little bit further, going, look at the greens, and they have sharp, the bunkers are cut. How good does this look? And then we seen the sign, Royal Melbourne.
Yes, which is very strange. So they're both on the same road. One's on one side of the road, one's on the other side of the road. So Sandringham, as I said, even the entry gates are basically opposite each other.
Oh, absolutely are opposite, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So we thought we might have been playing Royal Melbourne, but... We weren't. We'll go back to Royal Melbourne a bit later on. But we drove into Sandringham. And look, it was nice. It was in good condition. It was nice and open. They were friendly as. The pro shop wasn't real good, but I think they were moving between the one shop to the other.
Yeah, right.
But they let you in the comp, didn't they?
Yeah, they let me in the comp, and that was a little bit weird. I sort of said, "Are you running a comp today?" And the guy said, "Yeah." I said, "What do I do here?" And he goes, "Oh, you've got to go over to the little house over here and fill in a card and do it all yourself." And they had, like, I said, "Where is it?" Over near the toilet. So I walked out, found the toilets okay, couldn't find the little house I was supposed to go into, had to go ask a couple of blokes that looked like they'd been there before. Right opposite the toilet, there was a little door that was closed, so I didn't think I could go in there. Once I went in there, it was just this little tiny shack that you just filled your own name in, looked up your own thing, put a card, put your money, like your extra $5 in an envelope, and you're in the comp.
Yeah, well, I did. I didn't know. I actually didn't bother to come and have a look at any of that. I don't know what I was doing, but I didn't even see any of that. But it looked like it was going to be fairly busy, but the pace of play was fantastic. I think after the first hole, we didn't see anyone, did we?
Nah.
The guys in front of us got away and there was no one behind us.
Yeah, no, it was good. And look,
on a metro course on a Saturday, that's unheard of.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, one of the few courses too that nowadays it actually makes you prepay for your round. We got away with that because we were going to do that. Then we weren't sure on the weather and whether we were going to play. So it was last minute we caught up and they said, yeah, you can get on. So down we went. Look, the
guy wanted you to pay on the internet when you booked a couple of days before, did
Yeah,
they?
Or even on the phone when I caught up. Generally, really? Like a lot of times on the internet, you got to pay. But generally when you call up, they just put you down. They actually wanted you to pay, which used to be the go back in the day, but most courses seem to have sort of gone away from that sort of style.
But all right, what about the course? The course, I said, I love the first because it was we talk about a first hole. You need a reasonably generous open driving hole on the first. And this had it, didn't it?
It absolutely did. Once we worked out which way the fairway was going, we were sort of, I think we were staring down the wrong fairway first. It was your typical sort of Melbourne sandbelt sort of look. Like I think I said to you halfway through, like, other than the condition, like, and you and me aren't good enough to work out, or we've said many times in this podcast, aren't good enough to work out the difference between playability and risk reward and all that. But exactly. We could have been walking Kingston Heath. Like, if the fairways were a bit more clean cut and the greens were, it was next door to Royal Melbourne. So, it was, there was a lot of similarity between the two.
Yeah, but it was nice and flat, so it was an easy walk because we couldn't get a cart, and we actually weren't too upset because it was about the flattest course we may have ever played. But that said, the holes were interesting enough.
Yeah.
There's always a bit of left to right on them or dog leg on them and all that sort of stuff.
And the front and back was a little bit different too. The front was a lot more sort of wide open and set up for us too. Like, it was really hard to lose a golf ball on the front nine just because it was between holes, it was just mowed grass and a couple of trees.
Yeah, it was good. The back nine got a bit tighter and probably a bit more undulating and all that. I enjoyed the par threes on the course. The par threes, they all were a bit different sort of thing.
Yeah, they were all pretty good.
I reckon the two signature holes were two of the par threes. The one where the houses and trees were on the left and we had the valley there would have been about hole 14 or 15.
It was then 13.
And then one of the later par threes that went straight back towards the road and the big shed at the back of it. It seemed like it was sort of dead straight and whatever, but it had the big shed behind it, whatever. And it seemed like a bit of a theatre because it had solid trees either side of it. Yeah, that were my two favourite holes.
Yeah, I had the one in, but the one after the 13th, which was the par three you just mentioned, the 14th, that one where you had that sort of blind tee shot where you sort of had to take on the corner of the tree. Which I like as sort of a tee shot like that, where you've got a bit of a, rather than just trying to hit it down the middle, you've got options and that sort of stuff.
Thinking back on now, that back nine actually got pretty good. I thought it was just sort of good, but I'm actually thinking, it was probably a bit better than I thought, really. There was enough interesting holes on it.
And one thing, like you mentioned before, you said, one of the words you said was easy. And the slope actually proved, like, the slope's 114. So my handicap actually went down in the comp rather than up like it usually does.
I had six pars in seven holes on the back nine or something.
We should mention that. You actually played really well. Yeah, you come real good on that back nine. Because I mentioned earlier that I pulled up a treat from the night before and I started off okay and I was playing real well earlier on. The wheels fell right off at about 12, 13 and I was searching for the finish line.
Funnily enough, I sort of wasn't trying to illustrate that. But I was sort of illustrating how easy the course was, that if I'm having that many pars, it can't be overly difficult. There was one, I suppose, one par to get away with the chip in, which I just said I had to work into that. It wasn't from 100 metres or anything. It was just from the side of the green. But I've been barely chipping out of my own shadow. So actually chip it onto the green, I'm happy.
And we'll play a match play too, and I was on the green. That was a drivable par four. The whole course was only 5,646 metres, so it wasn't a long course. That's a lie. It wasn't a drivable par four. It was a straight par four. I was on the green for two, thinking I had that hole sewn up until you chipped on.
That was good. The price was okay. Oh, you enjoyed your halfway lunch, didn't you?
The price. We'll go back to the price, but $39 around in Melbourne, like that's an absolute bargain.
And what did you end up having for lunch?
Well, one of my favourite on-course foods is a steamed dim sim. Love a good steamed dim sim. Anywhere's good, but on a golf course, because it was kind of chilly as well.
What did you do? You ordered four or five or something, though, did you? Then he opened up the thing and they were giant.
And I still probably wish I had. I've ordered four or five.
We played around. It was great. I think we played off the same mark. I ended up with 38 points, which I was pretty happy with. I said you were going pretty well early, but fell away a bit with fatigue.
Yes.
At the end there.
Yep.
But then at the end of the round, what we did, I enjoyed. We snuck over to Royal Melbourne to have a look.
Yes, which we weren't sure on whether you could or not. We were going to ask. We thought, no, that's not our style. We'll just stroll in like we own the joint and see what happens?
Well, the thing that scared us a little bit was the boom gate. So you could drive, the boom gate was up to drive in, but to drive out, there was a boom gate. We thought, well, we might not be able to get out. But we thought, well, once we're in, what, they're only going to kick us out. That's the penalty for getting caught. So, yeah, we had a good look around. And, yes, very, very nice establishment over there at Royal Melbourne, wasn't it? Have you played Royal Melbourne?
No, I haven't played Royal Melbourne. No, no.
It's one of the you haven't got on at this stage.
Yeah, yeah. No, we'll sort of endeavour to do that. But, look, we're just being there on that week, it looked like we could have just nearly snuck out. how many holes we would have got before someone pulled us up.
I reckon on the right day it wouldn't be impossible. It wouldn't be impossible to sneak a few holes in there just to have a look. As I said, we played Royal Melbourne adjacent, and it was a good day.
Yeah, and look, for the price we paid, I'd happily go back and play that course again. I'd prefer to play that at rank 99 than say Federal at, I think, 49 or something it is. I'd much rather play that course.
Yeah, well, if you lived anywhere in that area in Melbourne, you'd be happy for that to be your local by easy, wouldn't you, by a long shot?
That'd be a good little local course for sure.
One other thing there at Sandringham. What happened with the guy from Gen Y Golf? We were going to have a round with him, but we never caught him. What happened there?
Yeah, look, thanks for reminding me. That was our fault because... He and shout out to Gen Y Golf too for anyone that is listening. Jump on Instagram and follow those boys because he went out of his way to throw our little podcast up on his thing. He's got a fair few followers and he runs a pretty tight ship and looks like a pretty good model that he runs down there. He hit us up on Instagram and we were sort of chatting back and forth and I said, oh, next time I'm down your way, I'll hitch up, we'll go for a hit. He was all keen to come play. But we kind of, because we didn't know what the weather was doing and we didn't know what we were doing, I sort of mentioned that to him. I said, look, it's up in the air what we're doing, and he was okay with. And then we decided 2 hours before we were teeing off that we were going to go play. And I let him know and he just said, oh, look, it's a bit late now.
The weather was the big factor there. Yeah. It was forecast to be horrible. And we actually got away with it. It rained for about two or three holes, that light misty rain for a hole and a half or two. But, we weren't going to play in the rain. So, apologise to the fella. But, he was in Melbourne, so he knows the weather was very dicey. But, we'll better make sure we do have a hit with him at some stage.
Yeah, that'll be real interesting just to pick his brain and see what he's all about and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so Sandringham, ranked 99 and a good, solid, easy pass by both of us.
That's it. Okay, well, that is the Sandringham Golf Review section done. We're going to move right on to a segment we actually haven't done in a while, Rolls.
What's up, mate?
Let's do a little bit of a top four.
Ah, very good, very good.
Top four. Ooh,
come on now. Before we go into the top four.
Yep.
You were actually kind enough to give me a heads up, so I've got a little bit of a thing to add at the end. But while I was looking up I was doing a bit of research and all that, I was on YouTube and looking up a few things. And do you do anything pre-show? You know how footballers listen to music or, get hyped up and get ready to go, or some actors do, have a smoke and a shot of whiskey or something? Mm. Do you do anything pre-show?
No.
I was listening to some music. I was in a pretty good mood tonight, which is unusual. Normally I'm, pretty cranky and pissed off about everything. But I was listening to some music. I was listening to some really good music. Now, you wouldn't have heard of this band, but I reckon you'll like them. The Spencer Lee Band and the song called The Wolf. And that got me in a really good mood for the show. I reckon you need to listen to something like that and see how they go.
Are you telling me... what did you say? Have I heard of this guy?
Yeah, no, I know you wouldn't have because they're pretty new and cool. So I'm not.
I put you on to them.
Know them. The Spencer Lee Band called The Wolf. Yeah, you'd enjoy them. You have a listen.
You're kidding me, aren't you? I put you onto the band.
No. As I said, I'm not even sure they'd be out in Australia yet. So.
They're not. Where's this going?
No, I really enjoyed it.
Is this a bit though? Because I put you onto this band because my brother put me onto the band because Bill Simmons put him onto the band. And he sent it to me in a text message with a thing saying that he thinks I am the wolf.
Now, I must have heard it off Bill Simmons. I listen to Bill all the time. Yeah. Yep. Now, I'm putting you onto him. Listen.
Okay. The only thing I'll tell you what I do sometimes, actually, I listen to our pod. I don't listen to our pod very often, but I've started now listening to it on the way home knowing when we're going to do a pod, because then it gets me in the mood and gives me ideas for what I need to say and that sort of stuff. So I have started doing that a little bit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, well, I reckon listen to The Wolf, the song The Wolf.
I'm all over The Wolf. I've listened to it 1,000 times. Have you heard his other song called The Kissing Tree?
Yeah, I have, yeah. You did put me onto that one, yeah. I thought that was okay, but no, the first one...
I'm gonna find proof of...
I was doing it. I just wanted to see how you go with that.
Good.
What happened? It randomly come on Spotify as I was waiting for you to call me. And I thought I'd go with that. I enjoyed that, so that was for me.
Fuck, it's a good song though, isn't it?
Oh, it's a good song. The listeners will love it.
Yeah, it's on the latest. Can
you link it to our Instagram, a link to that song?
Yeah, I'll try. It's on the latest 50 Shades movie soundtrack too, which in the movie it's even cooler in the movie.
Speaking of movies, what's your top four today?
Yes, well, the top four, nice segue rolls, is movie related. We all love a good one-liner. All right.
Oh, we do.
And one of the best at delivering the one-liners is?
Samuel L. Jackson.
That is correct. Samuel L. Jackson, little Samuel L. So today's top four is the top four Samuel L. Jackson lines, okay?
All right. So you're going to read them now. Are you reading them in the same acting style that I've done movie reads from? Or are you just reading...
I haven't decided yet. I was looking down at the first one thinking, am I just going to read this out or say it like him?
Yeah,
I'm not going to put, okay, we'll see what happens. I don't think I'm going to put his accent on, but we'll see how I read it out, okay? And see if you can pick what movie it's from.
All right, so I've got to guess the movie. So you've got the top four quotes from Sam Jackson from the movies. All right, and I've got to guess the movie.
Okay,
all right,
so coming at number four, you'll never pick this movie. This is a tough one. Okay, enough is enough. I've had it with these motherfucking snakes on these motherfucking planes.
as soon as you started it, I started mouthing it myself because I knew it. I think I've got Snakes on a Plane in a future What's Better. But that was obviously Snakes on a Plane.
Okay. Now, these last three, these are hard to put in order. This could be, this is probably, I think in a survey, most people would probably put this as his most, one of his better ones. But this is my list, so it's coming at three. AK-47, the very best there is when you absolutely, positively got to kill every motherfucker in the room except no substitutes.
Ah, all right. Like the quote and know it, have heard, but I'm struggling with what movie though.
Yeah, that's a little bit old. It's a Tarantino film.
It's not True Romance, is it?
No, it is Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown, yep. All right, very good.
Okay, number two... So everyone's probably going to have the word motherfucker in it, so I apologise for that now. Number two, say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what? One more goddamn time.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, that's magnificent.
Then the guy goes, what?
What? Yeah, no.
I didn't know what country I ever heard of. Do they speak English in what?
Yeah. He's had a bite of his big Kapuna burger, the whole thing. Yeah, magnificent. Yeah. Obviously, now I hope I'm not preempting. That leads into the big quote. Are you doing that as number one?
No, I'm not doing that as number one. No. Number one is a movie. This and the reason I'm doing this is I was sitting home the other day and a movie come on that this next one's from, and it's an older film, and I just forgot how good this film was.
All right.
So, picture Samuel. I was sitting in the courtroom. And he comes out with a line. Yeah, they deserve to die. I hope they burn in hell.
Yeah, as soon as you said the courtroom, again, I just started saying it in my head. Yeah. I say that all the time about people.
Such a good line. It gives you chills. And because you know it's coming and it builds up and builds up. And just a note on that movie, how we didn't realise back then how good of an actor Matthew McConaughey was, because he played a few of those roles where he was just the boyfriend or the friend or whatever. The proof was
and
there.
Sandra Bullock's in that movie and Oliver Platt. I've actually read the book. And the book's a real good read too. Time to Kill, brilliant movie.
Yeah, so I had a couple of honourable mentions. One was Zeus, as in Father Apollo, Mount Olympus, don't fuck with me or I'll shove a lightning bolt up your ass.
Die Hard 3, when he's talking to Bruce. Yeah.
My favourite Die Hards. And then one from another underrated movie from The Negotiator, just simple, you can't talk me down.
Oh, yeah, Negotiator. Probably slid through the cracks, but yeah, fair enough.
So that's all. They're the two. Look, you could go on and on. Every line he's done could make one of those.
Yeah, well, so you were kind enough to give me a heads up on your top four, which I never do for you.
Yep.
So I was Googling and YouTubing a few things, and I was looking for quotes like this sort of stuff, and I've ended up YouTubing the 100 best movie threats. Have you seen this on YouTube?
No, I don't know why I haven't. That's fantastic.
Oh, my God. Well, seriously, go straight after this pod, go and Google YouTube the 100 best movie threats and then link it to our Instagram so everyone else can do it as well. It's magnificent. Because I'll give you four that I can remember from this 100.
Okay.
Now, the movies are incredibly obsolete and all that sort of stuff and whatever. So the first one is it's not so much the line, it's just how it's delivered. So I'll deliver it how he delivered it. So it's just an old bloke talking to another bloke in a bar, and he goes, "You're going to look funny eating corn on the cob with no fucking teeth." And that cracks me up. So that was great. Now, the other one, now there's one, there's a bloke called Lou Gossett Jr. Do you know him? Lou Gossett Jr., he's the Samuel L. Jackson before Samuel L. Jackson.
Right.
So he's walking along and he's knocked this guy over on his ass. And this guy's gone to reach behind his back to pull out his gun, right? And Lou Gossett Jr. goes, "Whatever you're reaching for better be a sandwich because you're going to have to eat it."
I've heard that somewhere. What'd you say the movie was?
Oh, I don't know. It might be Iron Eagle or something like that.
Yeah, I reckon whatever the movies, I reckon I've seen that.
Now this one doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm gonna say it to you because I need you to explain it to me. And I'm gonna change one nasty C word to the word bitch because lose anything. We won't know anything. So there's two. Ryan Philippe, it might be.
Yeah.
He's standing there at the back of his car, and three or four other people are coming at him. And the bloke's girlfriend's been a loudmouth smarter. So he turns around and he yells out he goes, "Tell that fucking bitch to shut her mouth or I'll come over there and fuck start her head."
Jesus. Okay. I'm glad you changed the C word because the rest of it wasn't that bad.
Now I could probably fuck start a lawnmower. I don't know how to fuck start someone's head. I don't get that. What's he doing?
I'm not sure we need to go into great detail of what that means, and I don't want to picture you fuck starting a lawnmower.
All right, good. And the last one. Go on.
No, because I've got one. I've just thought of one. I just want to get us off that subject real quick. Go to your last one.
Now, this is the last one on the whole clip too. So this is the 100th one on the top 100. And it's the great man Steven Seagal. In the movie, the bad guy in the movie is Senator Trask, and Senator Trask is running for office, and his thing is, "I'll build new schools. You can take that to the bank. I'll make the hospitals work. You can take that to the bank." Is his catchphrase. and Steven's walking through a house, and the ad comes on the telly, and it's Senator Trask, and he goes something something. "You can take that to the bank." And Seagull looks over his shoulder back at the telly and is serious and without any irony goes, "I'll take you to the bank, the blood bank," and says it as serious as anything, "I'll take you to the blood bank," and it's brilliant. So link that top 100 movie threats in and people will see them I think it goes for about 9 minutes or 10 minutes and it's brilliant.
Yeah, well, let me just on the track one on the end of that, which is just made me think of it. There's a movie, an Adam Sandler of all movies, called Click.
Yep, yeah, I know the movie.
And,
Click,
and,
yep.
And his father in the movie is played by Henry Winkler, and he was down in his little studio down in the basement, and he's talking to him about when he was born, about how small his penis was, and he's calling it a schmackle. He's going, "When you were born, your schmackle was so big we didn't know whether you were a boy or a girl, blah blah blah." And Adam's getting all embarrassed. And as he's walking up the stairs, he turns back and he says something like, "Oh, it was that small, it looked like a tiny tic-tac," and had a bit of a laugh and walked up the stairs. And then Adam Sandler under his breath goes, "Yeah, well, come back here and I'll freshen your breath."
Yeah, very good, very good. But I can't believe you haven't probably watch that and send me back a text on what you think of those top 100 movie threats.
Yeah.
You know, some classics like I'll Turn Your Head into a Canoe and I'm Coming and Hell's Coming with Me and all that sort of stuff. No, they're good.
Yeah, they are. But maybe we should, enough of the movies, let's talk a little bit about golf. The last week was the Players' Championship. Did you catch any of that, Ross?
Actually, did catch a bit of the Players' Championship.
Good,
oh, that's what's
didn't.
Happened. On Saturday or Sunday, there's some sort of golf wrap-up program, and it runs for about an hour. So they just showed sort of four 25-minute packages of each day. So I actually got a bit of it. Now, the bit that struck me was, so that obviously the Webb won it by a fair way, didn't he? He won it easy.
Yes.
But they were showing Dustin Johnson. He was playing a 526-yard par three. Par five. 526-yard par five. So what would you have there to get to the green? What would you play to get to a 530-yard par five?
What do you mean? Every shot?
I'd hit driver, 3-wood, 9-iron probably, or driver, 3-wood, 7-iron even maybe for me to get there. What would you hit?
How far was it? I'm doing the math.
530. So 500 metres.
So I would be, driver, hybrid, and then... And what was the distance, sorry?
500 metres.
Oh, I'd be wedging it in after the second. If I hit the first two properly, I'd be wedging it in.
He hit 3-wood, 8-iron, and was past the flag.
That's nice. I love hearing that.
That's insane. 3-wood, 8-iron for 500 metres.
Yeah, that is
insane. The other highlight of the tournament for me was, you know that bloke Glover, who he won a major a few years ago when he plays in the, obviously still plays in the tour now. His first name escapes me. It's not Danny Glover. But there's a bloke on the tour, Glover, and he had four or five over on day two. He got home, so his wife beat the shit out of him.
What?
Did you hear that story? Yeah, his wife went berserk at him for his wife. The police got called. She beat the shit out of his mother and him for having a bad round. Didn't you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that. What sort of, how big's his wife?
I don't know. But what are you still married to? You're a professional golfer who's won a major. He won the US PGA two or three years ago. So he's obviously going all right. Yeah. Why are you married to a chick who's beaten the shit out of you because you had four over?
He's not married to Ronda Rousey or anything, is he?
I don't know. He might be. But yeah, I thought you would have heard that story. His surname's Glover. So you'll be able to look him up and see what he's done. It was at Sawgrass, which has got that famous 17, and it's an amazing-looking course.
Cool name for a tournament too, Players' Championship.
The Players' Championship at Sawgrass,
I nearly had a chance to play Sawgrass and didn't. I'm regretting that.
Well, I was having a look. It's about $400 a round, but you can stay at the hotel for $300 a night and play for free.
Ooh.
So you'd stay at the hotel, wouldn't you?
Good deal. Getting paid to play golf.
Yep. And the land was bought for a dollar. The whole whatever many acres it was to buy the course was originally swamp land, and the dude who bought it and made the golf courses bought the land for $1.
Wow.
So that's all I know about that.
Forge any documents for that.
That's all I know about that. Is that covered? Is that enough golf talk?
Yeah. Look, before we go on that, the one thing I really dislike when I'm watching a professional golf tournament, happened in this one, is when one guy's so far in front of the rest of the field after day one, held his lead all the way through, and then from second to like 13th is like one shot difference, and they had all the big names were in there, and it would have been one of the best finishes to a tournament of all time if Webb Simpson had just not entered the tournament or somehow.
Because the other five or six guys were all real even. I agree. He wrecked it. Yep.
And remember, see who the new world number one is?
No.
The guy, every time I mention his name, you go, who's that? Never heard of him.
Not Thomas Bjorn.
Yeah, JT. He's the new world number one after the...
Wow. I didn't know that. No, well, good luck to Thomas and well done.
I couldn't wait to slip that in. That's good. Okay, so we've run in about 33 minutes now. We were going to do some viewer questions, which we might leave for the next pod, I think.
Yep.
Anything else you want to do a weird other week, or you want to leave that...
Oh, look, if we've done 33 minutes, look, we probably should properly apologise for some poor language. I hope we haven't offended anyone. That was done with the best of intentions. But 33 minutes, mate. And still, until they're paying for it, that's just more than I'm prepared to give them.
All right, no worries. All right, well, we might wrap this Sandringham podcast up here. So there's no final words before we close this out?
Look, funnily enough, the house is out of food, so I can't go get anything to eat. I'm just ready to go. Thanks, mate.
All right. Well, as always, follow us on Instagram. Got any questions, even though we didn't get to them today, we'll try to get to them in the future. Send them in. And until then, we will hand it over to Bruce Hornsby. He can take us to the range. Chili Dippers out.
See you, mate.
Strong, but I'm feeling no pain. Got an old brown bag, big sticky on the back, where the grass don't grow. Gonna take a few hacks. There's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm Chuck Rich, yelling at the TV. You have another cool one, but it won't hurt. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt. With a little bit of pay, but I feel no pressure. Couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash. Take another good hit, try to make it last. There's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm chair boys yelling at the TV. 20 boys in a row, I'm getting shirts. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt.
That finish was, you, I know who you've been looking to finish. That one is, you got it right. I'll hand it over to Bruce Hornsby and he can take us to the range. That's your, how to finish it.
All right. There was something before.